This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, it's Annie Heilbrun from Annie and Elston. Thanks for downloading and listening to Annie and Elston. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. We're also live weekdays on YouTube. And of course, you can always listen live weekdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
The airwaves live in America's finest city. It's Annie and Elston.
Oh, what time is it? Time to kick it!
A fresh local sports talk show about having a good time in the sunshine of San Diego.
Since I've been working so hard, I forgot what it's like to be hardly working.
With your hosts, Annie Heilbrun.
Gold showers. Of tickets raining down.
And Craig Elston.
I was too vociferous in my ding-dong.
And featuring Braden Zabrennant. The good times start now. Here are your hosts, Annie and Elston, on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
What's happening, San Diego? Hope you're having a great Tuesday. We are ready to add our part to it. It's Annie and Elston, your midday hang on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be with you. Annie Heilbrun's here. My name's Craig Elston. Braden Zabrennant is alongside. We are ensconced in our 97.3 The Fan studios, courtesy of Odyssey. Taking a look over sunny Murphy Canyon. Ready to roll. 4 hours live local San Diego sports audio entertainment. Bridging the gap between Ben and Woods and Gwen and Chris this afternoon. What's going on, Annie? How are you?
I'm great. Good morning, everyone. Happy Tuesday. Good morning to all our wonderful, lovely listeners out there and chatters, although not a ton of them in our chat yet.
They're rolling in.
Yeah, roll in. But yeah, good. It's like you said, nice and sunny today. I guess we're getting rain, though, later this week. We're getting rain tomorrow, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Get your umbrellas ready, everyone.
Oh, the weather app coming to... Yeah. Add more information. Okay, fair enough.
On the red, Greg can let us know
yes,
what his wife says on Channel 10.
You mean you don't watch?
Well, we're in the show, Braden.
Got you!
He draws the foul!
I mean, really, I feel like you were just waiting in the paint to drop charge there.
That's right.
I think Megan probably does a tremendous job.
Right here. Bang. Going the other way.
Going the other way. Well, we got a show for you today. We are grooving along through spring training. And in this time where it feels like things are happening and also things aren't happening all at once, anything that comes our way, you know, we will receive and be grateful and happy for. And what we received is MLB Network spun through Padres campaign. Mm-hmm.
You know what's so funny is... Yonder Alonso was with Manny at the SDFC game and then interviewed him the next day at Padres camp. Hey, man, long time no see. Yeah. Probably went on the plane back to Peoria with him. But no, it's cool. It's we heard from They talked to Manny and Tatis and Jackson Merrill, and I think Greg Amsinger was there too. So, you know, they're making the rounds. I saw they were at Diamondbacks camp, I think, yesterday, and rolling through good old Cactus League spring training.
Nice. Yeah. So we're going to have in the baseball hour, Dylan Cease, Fernando. We'll see how much of this we can get to, you know, but they had Merrill, they had Manny. Of course.
Probably don't need to. Yeah,
we know all these guys.
Pick a few, yeah.
We'll figure out which ones we like. And we'll dig through that. Also, an interview we didn't get to a couple of days ago, and apparently it's Tyler Wade Day. He led the sports page mm-hmm. this morning as well. So, you know, listen, who are we not to fall in line? So we've got Sammy with Tyler Wade, a really good interview that was in the midst of like when six things were available to us. Why skip on the juicy content? We'll bring you that in the 11 o'clock hour as well.
He talked to Tyler Wade, and then Ben and Woods also talked to Tyler Wade when they were out there. So some good Tyler Wade content rolling through.
Yeah. Plus, I already saw the Daily Shilt has been chopped up. We'll give that to you in the 11 a.m. hour, give you the very latest. It's a split squad day for your beloved San Diego Padres. And actually, I feel like for a baseball fan, this is a pretty fun day because the home game against the Giants is a close to opening day lineup, I would say. One key question I'd have in there is Martin Maldonado. Who is starting and Elias Diaz is not. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little curious about that one. But nonetheless, otherwise, pretty much a starting lineup for the Padres, including Nick Pivetta, who will make his spring start today.
Awesome.
Against the Giants. Meanwhile, in Mesa, the Padres will play the Cubs with mostly a B squad. But some of those decisions, just who's on A, who's on B, are fairly interesting or maybe noteworthy, or maybe we're just trying to look at the tea leaves and glean some meaning out of what's at the bottom of the cup. So we'll get into all of that coming up at 11 o'clock and all the way through the 11 o'clock hour. Of course, at the midpoint of the show, 12 o'clock Sports Fix will hit you with all the sports news of the day. We will move to our silly game at 12:40, which is Fast Money today, the bonus round from the Family Feud game show. And we'll have a good time with that because we are giving away qualifications for Alanis Morissette in Vegas. That's this month's big drawing, so we'll do that coming up at 12:45. We'll, of course, wrap up the show with Ask Us Anything. Got a couple calls out. We'll see if a guest drops in, between here and 2 o'clock as well. That will be essentially up to them. So all of that coming up. Plus, of course, we'll get in later in this segment into the San Diego State Aztecs. Here's one. Can we just knock this one out? Fernando Tatis has signed with the agency Remus, mm-hmm. which is headed by the global recording superstar Bad Bunny,
mm-hmm.
But has had a rough relationship with MLB so far in terms of getting their agents accredited as being official. I think this is just for him to, get sunglass sponsorships and apparel sponsorships and cars and whatever.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's for shoes, maybe a shoe deal or things like clothing or sunglasses, cars, like whatever kind of he decides to endorse. He lost his endorsements obviously after the suspension, and has kind of probably taking a hit on him, I think his ego a little bit too. Like, hey, wait a second. Like, I remember when he was doing all that Dairy Queen stuff and Adidas? Who was he? Adidas? Or
I think it was he had a Mercedes deal too.
Yeah, yeah. So, I think he spent a few years, I think, understanding that was all, consequences of his actions.
Right.
And he lost them and he did his own thing for a while. And in certain, I don't think he's like hard up for endorsements, but I'm sure Bad Bunny is like, hey, we can work on, getting you out there a little bit more and getting you maybe a little bit more of a presence both internationally and in the U.S. And I think it says also something about a philanthropy. So maybe it's like some charity work too, or businessman, maybe he wants to make some investments. I have no idea, but it will handle all that. Like, I think Dan Lozano stays on as his actual agent.
Okay. I mean, of all the players on the team that, it, you know, changing agencies would be news, I feel like he and Manny would probably be the bottom of the list because they've got, and Xander, they've got their deals. Like, the deals are there. What are they going to do?
Yeah, exactly. And I think he's still with Lozano, you know, but exactly. Like, what his 14-year deal is already set. I mean, he doesn't really need another deal done, you know, until then. So, and I think that would still be with Lozano, but I'm not sure 100%.
Well, yeah, good for Bad Bunny, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Big time client. Rescue his reputation.
Yeah, and you know, maybe for Fernando, who is probably looking at, you know, what he can kind of get involved with in the coming years. I think, again, after the suspension, he just kind of stepped back a little bit. Like, let me just concentrate on building myself back up from what happened and getting myself healthy after all the surgeries and showing that I can still play and all that good stuff. And I think maybe now he's reached a point where he's ready to kind of get back out there.
And that's great. Let's hope he's right. You know, this feels like a potential, in our best case scenarios, I think Fernando Tatis has a great year in almost all of them. Like, it's important for the Padres to be a great team, for Fernando to have that year that he's been talking about for a while. And I mean, he talked about it a couple of years ago, you know, like, teams are going to need to look out for this lineup and, you know, what we do, you know, we're going to be able to do things no one has done before. I've heard him say those things. We've seen him do individually some things that we have not seen very many times before, but can you do it for 155 games? Can you lock in? Can you stay healthy? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Fernando, you know, there's no words that will get you from spring training to the end of the year. There's only actions, honestly.
You know, absolutely. I mean, Fernando still has something to prove, and he knows that. I mean, he wants to get out there and have a healthy year. He still has not had a full season of health and been able to contribute in the way that I think he knows he can and wants to. And I think he will look at his legacy at some point. I mean, I truly don't think Fernando wants to be a player who just sits on his butt and, you know, he collects a check and maybe has, you know, plays for half a year. I really believe, like, he wants to show his suspension is not going to define him. He feels as good as he's ever felt coming into this camp, but we've heard that before. So it really is on Fernando. Like you said, it's got to be actions. You can't help some of the freak injuries, but he can definitely help himself wherever possible in terms of making sure that he's doing what he needs to do. Not taking any unnecessary risks, of course, but also, you know, training-wise and everything like that. And he's been doing that. I really think Fernando thinks about his legacy and believes that, like, he wants himself to have a legacy he can be proud of in the big leagues and that fans can be proud of. Fernando really cares about, like, how the fans, like, in terms of entertaining fans and, you know, giving people their money's worth and understanding that the game is more than just a game. It's for the kids and it's for the families and it's for people to come out and have fun. Like, he gets all that. So if he can get his baseball back, which we saw last year, I mean, clearly that injury sidelined him for 2 months. There was only so much he could do. But if he can get back there and then Padres can make some more playoffs, I mean, Fernando in the playoffs is as hot as anyone gets. And that is really truly when he shines. So, you know, use this time. If you're the Padres, it's like, you want to keep this guy on the field. He needs to keep himself on the field. And then you want to get back in the playoffs where he gets to be on that big stage and do what he does.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we all know what he is capable of, and he knows what he is capable of. Everyone around him does as well. So it just becomes a matter of, is this the year?
Yeah.
Is this the year that it's all together and it's an MVP, 1-2-3 type finish, automatic starting in the All-Star game, you know, like the whole nine yards. It's all there in front of him. And if he does it, we're all going to be here to enjoy it. And that's that's the beauty of having a player like Fernando Tatis locked up for years and years. Good luck, Remus. Hope you figure it out. You know, I hope it all comes through.
Who knows what this is? It could be nothing. It could be, you know, we're seeing him on some billboards in a few months. I have no idea. But for whatever reason, I mean, look, Bad Bunny mentioned Tatis in his song a few years ago. I'm surprised, honestly, that this hasn't happened earlier. So the two know each other, clearly, you know, so we'll see what comes of it.
DR and PR hooking up here, Dominican and Puerto Rico, on the same page. Okay, we are underway with the Tuesday edition of Annie and Elston. When we come back, a college basketball segment for you as San Diego State heads out on the road tonight with revenge on their mind. Will they get it in Vegas. We'll talk about it after this. Annie and Elston, we go till 2. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Chelsea Messenger, helping you beat the books with the BetMGM Network. Network play of the day is the Orlando Magic, team total under 111.5. The Magic are ranked 25th in offensive rating and 27th in true shooting percentage since the break, while the Raptors, who they play tonight, ranked 9th in defensive rating during that same span. I'm Chelsea Messenger from the BetMGM Network. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetMGM app today. Please gamble responsibly.
You ever try fixing your car and realize you're missing that one part? Yeah, been there. That's why eBay's my go-to. They've got millions of parts, guaranteed to fit. I'm talking brake pads for when yours have seen one too many miles of stop and go. Oil filters, because you don't mess around with your engine care. Even got this cold air intake on my watch list? I might just go for it. To keep the ride cool and your DIY streak hot. Find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Were you in a car crash? Call the Barnes Firm now. Right now. 1-800-8-MILLION.
We've all been there. Sleepless nights, mind racing, wondering if your business's security service is really protecting what matters. At Bail Arm, we can put your security insecurities to bed. Video security, burglar alarms, fire alarms, access control, 24/7 monitoring, and more. Our advanced technology and personalized support ensure you can rest easy, knowing we're here for you, your people, and your business. Visit bailarm.com to talk to a local security expert. Bail Arm, we got you.
A California without big tobacco? It isn't just possible, it's already happening. Over the past 30 years, California's cut smoking by 60%, lung cancer by 42%. A couple of our cities have already ended tobacco sales. Everyday Californians are doing their part to clear the air, protecting loved ones, neighbors, even complete strangers from the harms of big tobacco. What will we undo next? See our progress at undo.org.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy and founder of Wesley Financial Group. And I want to set the record straight. I am not an attorney. I've never wanted to be an attorney. And the truth is, I really don't even like attorneys. If I sound like an attorney or if I look like an attorney, I apologize. But what I've learned in my 15 years in the timeshare cancellation business is you don't need to be an attorney to get folks out of their timeshare. At Wesley, we've helped over 40,000 families cancel their timeshare without me being an attorney. And I want to share with you how we do it. Just give my office a call, and you will not talk to an attorney. And I guarantee if we take you as a client, we'll get you out of your timeshare, or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free timeshare exit info kit. 800-656-1551. That's 800-656-1551. 800-656-1551.
Old Spice Swagger Body Wash will make you the MVP of freshness and confidence. With its irresistible scent, it will transform your shower experience, leaving you feeling fresh on and off the field. Pair it with Old Spice Swagger Deodorant, the number one aluminum-free brand that keeps you feeling like a Super Bowl champion 24/7 when used daily. But don't wait. This dynamic duo is available at Costco for a limited time only. Old Spice, official deodorant partner of the NFL and Super Bowl 59, where freshness meets football greatness.
Build your business with a partner you can trust. The Home Depot. When you join Pro Xtra, you get lower than shelf pricing and dedicated support to help you streamline your business and stay on budget. Get dedicated pro support for supply sourcing, custom orders, large equipment rentals, and more. At the Home Depot, we supply the support your job needs with the level of service your business deserves. The Home Depot, how pros get more done.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to spring training and opening day is officially upon us.
Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A mix of clouds and sun, also breezy, highs mid-60s.
Weather brought to you by Robert Half. Robert Half's recruiting professionals use their award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. Learn more at roberthalf.com/talent today.
You could be another face that I forget. As soon as I move along, everybody makes mistakes. Am I mistaken for the way I carry on? You could show a little grace, but maybe
10:18 on the Fan. Beautiful Tuesday in America's finest city. Annie and Elston rolling on through. We head till 2 o'clock today. Gwen and Chris check in at that point. All right, let's talk a little college basketball. San Diego State at UNLV tonight. Starting on the newsy side of things, Magoon Gwath sounds like will be out this week.
Yeah.
Based on what Coach Dutcher said, he was hoping for a conference tournament potential appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably where it lies, is right there. Like, if we're lucky, he's available for the conference tournament.
But you really would want him available for that next step, if the Aztecs can do that. So you can get these wins without them, or what you need to do, then let them rest.
You know, Annie, you bring up a pretty good point there, because if, as Braden has laid out multiple times, going through the Nolan Gorman dot Jonesy Dorman dot
Smith.
Smith.com.
Smitty Wortherman Jensen. He was number one, Craig.
I knew it. I knew it all along. As he's been laying out for us, if the Aztecs could win this week, get the two-dub week, and
dub.
Head into the conference tournament, I saw the breakdowns. Mark Ziegler did the breakdowns. Probably if they win through, they'll be third. There's like a super outside chance for second. It would depend on other teams losing games they're supposed to win.
Okay.
But if everyone kind of wins the way they're supposed to, they're probably going to finish third. And therefore, you know, they don't have to play in the first day.
Yeah.
They'll get the sixth seed. They'll get UNLV, probably, is what he had laid out, is that they probably get UNLV in the first round.
So they need to win both this week.
Yeah.
For that to happen.
Yeah. Otherwise, they'll probably fall to fifth.
Okay. I mean, that's a good, you know, it's a good layout, right? If you can get that done, it's kind of gives you a little bit of breathing room. And again, for your guys that maybe need a little break, Magoon Gwath allows you to not have to rush him back necessarily.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. You know, building on your point, is that if you do this, you get to third, you've created an at-large resume that's pretty solid. And it should be strong enough to withstand losing in the conference tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course, you wouldn't want to lose in the first round or the second round, technically, but in your first conference tournament game. You know, UNLV at home, you never know. You sometimes have to roll the dice on that one. UNLV isn't a locked-in program the way they've been, you know, in our history, you know, years and decades ago. So I'm not, like, overly concerned. SDSU has played UNLV in the conference tournament many times over the years.
Yep.
And it's not, like, the end of the world every time that they do. But point being, I think... if you go 2-0 this week, it gives you the latitude to not say to Gwath, hey, we need 100% of your 60% because we just need you out there.
Yeah.
You know?
And if you can give him a little bit of that extra time and get him to be in better health for hopefully a tourney run, you know, that's obviously where you want, you know, that'd be ideal. I mean, you maybe use a little bit of him, but you don't have to tax him too much if you don't have to, and then get your team at better strength and better health, you know, headed into where it really is going to matter here soon, most likely for them. So a little bit of stake here for sure. And the late game tonight, you got to set your...
Is it 8 o'clock
set your
again?
Alarm. Is it 8 or... Yeah, I think it's 8. I don't know.
Well...
Hold on.
What are the odds that this is the one I remember? You know, like after so many...
so many days of no.
It's it's 8 p.m.
Of course it is. Of course it is, because what better time to start a sporting event than sometime after 8 o'clock?
Or you play on the East Coast and play at 9 East Coast time.
Yeah,
I know. That happened a couple
crazy.
Times. So dumb.
So dumb.
What's the lowest they can get, you said, seed-wise?
So the way that it's looking right now...
They can't get the 6th seed, right?
They should not get the 6th seed. I think there's a 5-game gap.
Then it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it's 2 through 5. The way Ziegler projected it today in the newspaper was a 4-way tie, actually, at 15-5 in conference between Utah, Boise, SDSU, and Colorado State, I believe.
Yes.
And that... He had already done, the tinkering that we don't need to go find, that the tiebreaker would sort such that Utah State would get the 2 seed, and then SDSU would get 3, and I think CSU and Boise would be 4-5. So that's if you win out. If you just lose one game, you'll probably be the 5th seed.
Mm-hmm.
And as was pointed out again, just, passing along information I read myself earlier, it's not the worst thing in the universe if that happens, because the side of the bracket the Aztecs would fall in would lead them to play late at night over and over.
As a 3 seed, you mean?
Yes. Right?
Yeah, I'm reading that. So in the UT, it says the downsides, 8:30 p.m. quarterfinal, 9 p.m. semifinal, usually later because the previous game will go long. Then followed by the next day at 3 p.m. Saturday final, and the 4-5 game on Thursday is 2:30 and feeds into the 6:30.
Yeah.
So they don't have enough. They don't have as much recovery time, right?
Right.
Dutcher says the guys who play that late semifinal don't get out of there until sometimes 1 a.m. and then play again the next afternoon at 3. And it's one of the toughest things to do in college basketball.
Yeah, they would have. If they got the 3 seed, they'd have an 8:30 tip, a 9 o'clock tip, and then a 3 o'clock tip,
and then a 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
And the 9 o'clock is, as you mentioned, is subject to change based on how late the 6:30 game goes.
So you're not getting done until after midnight, probably, right? Or, well, maybe like somewhere around there. By the time you're leaving the stadium and you've done everything you need to do,
you're almost better off, honestly, if you get the 3 seed, you're better off winning the quarterfinal game and then losing the semifinal and just getting ready to watch the NCAA tournament selection show.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you're already in.
You.
It's why go through the extra... pain, like the extra wear and tear on your bodies and everything like that, if you feel like you're comfortable in a spot there. I mean, you'd be playing the 2 seed in that 9 o'clock game, so that'd be a loss to a quad. That'd be a quad 1 game. It's not like you're losing. It's not like a quad 4 loss that would just kill you in the thing. Mm-hmm. And at that point in time, everybody else that's on the bubble is playing in their tournaments, and a lot of those teams could have lost in the first round.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the bubble gets smaller and smaller. The only thing that really scares you are bid stealers out there, and I don't know how many bid stealers there are going to be in some of these conferences. Is Irvine a bid stealer if they win their tournament? I don't really think so.
Mm-hmm.
So you just gotta start. You're starting to play a numbers game. That's why it's very important for them to win these 2 games in the regular season here, so they don't have to overdo it in the conference tournament.
Yeah, and make it easy on yourself. And I think they can. And personally, I'm pretty confident in them going into UNLV and taking care of business. Yeah. I think the fact that the Rebs came here and really kind of set the Aztecs on that ragged path for 2 or 3 weeks. It was right at the beginning of that patch of play where they were not facing they weren't handling the mediocre teams the way that they needed to. And even though they won enough of those games that we're still right here talking about the at-large conversation, it was the way they did it that put them into nervous town. So I like the redemption arc that we're seeing. First act of the Aztec season, really strong, went over Houston, high point. Second act, that dramatic dip that you need to make the movie good. And then you get to the third act, you're rolling now as you get to the boss levels. You're rolling as you get into where it really counts.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good way for the Aztecs to just keep rolling, doing what they're doing. Again, you're proving that you can win. You don't want to keep winning without Magoon Gwoth, but you've been doing it. You've been getting it done. So you just kind of keep building that, right? Like that sense of urgency, that never say die. And it's kind of like they're a revenge game again, right? They're trying to go in there and show that they're the better team. So I think the Aztecs really do have high aspirations here, and I think that they're buying into that a lot more now that it's getting closer and closer.
All right, we're going to take our second time out of the program. When we come back, we're going to start to dip our toe into MLB Network Padres camp sound. We just talked about Fernando Tatis Jr. Let's hear from him. Why not? You know, seems like a smart thing to do. Stay on topic. You're already thinking a little Nando way. We'll bring you some Nando. Add to that. Plus, SDFC makes an announcement yesterday that I completely expected them to make. And it's the right one to make. And we'll get back to that story and update you on it as well as we wrap up the first hour of four. It's Annie and Elston. Roll until 2 o'clock. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize an award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. Annie Halbert and Craig Elston, Braden Suprenant here with you. Momentarily, we're going to bring you some sound from MLB Network. You probably know they do the, 30 camps in 15 days, I think is what they say. Or maybe it's 30 days, I don't know.
I think it's 15 now.
I think it
used to be 30. I think they used to do like one a day, now they're just doubling them up.
That's exactly what I thought, too.
Yeah, budget cuts and everything.
Cut the staff in half.
Yeah, exactly.
Doubled it up. We'll just send one of you out to camp, and we'll send a couple of you out to the other camp, as opposed to sending the crew.
Yeah, they used to go to the Grapefruit League first, and then they would get all the way over and then do Arizona for the second half
right.
of spring training. That was the 30 clubs in 30 days. And they're like, why are we doing this when we can send two groups out and just knock all of them out at the same time? Smart.
Yeah, I guess.
Guys didn't want to spend the money to have the MLB Network crew on a bus, John Madden style, across the country.
Exactly. So we're going to get to that in just a moment. Start with just a little bit of an update from the story that wound up being, I'm sure, in San Diego FC's minds, way too much of the post-game oxygen.
Yeah, you know what's a bummer about this whole thing is, for the most part, by and large, and of course your mileage may vary on the actual offense and scoring, but besides, you know, whatever, I think people had a good time. People had a really good time there on Saturday night, and I think they enjoyed the atmosphere and the experience and all of that good stuff, and I think it's just, you know, you were there. It's important to, like, note that I do think if you go out there, you're going to have a good time, and unfortunately, this is just kind of overshadowing it right now.
Absolutely, you are going to. And the reason you're going to is because the atmosphere is incredible. And as I've talked about, God, since the beginning of the show back last year, that atmosphere is created by the supporters. The supporters are the people on the north end of the stadium who have banded into various groups. Those groups have agreed to a union. That union signs a literal contract with the club that allows them to have noisemakers, drums, flags, banners, trumpets, whatever, right? Like, all of that is part of a contract, and within that contract are the values of both the group and the team, and the vow for each one of the two sides to hold each other accountable to those values. If the club's values stray, it's on the supporters group. But you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The supporters group will stand up and speak up if the club's values stray. Likewise, if the supporters group's values strayed, the club would speak up and would enforce. Mm-hmm. You have a contract. There's a union there. And those thousands of people who put their time and energy, create the TIFO, create the chants, practice the drums, do everything, or even just suit up and go there to sing and be energetic and wave flags and have a great time. Those people create the incredible culture that allows you to love, creates the culture that allows you to recognize when you walk into a stadium that this is different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is different. This isn't like when I went to the baseball game and it was great. I loved the baseball game, but they played Blink 182 all the time and the speakers were blaring and it was this and it was that and there were timeouts and the pot squad ran out and this, that. No, soccer just goes. The game goes. And so it could be silent. Right? It could just be the sound of the ball moving around and just the broccoli of the people chattering. Or it can be boom, 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 right?
Yeah.
And that's what creates that atmosphere, that culture. Within all of that, the supporters have been, each group has been standing up over the course of the last 48 hours to put out their own statement that matches mm-hmm. what San Diego FC has put out to say, listen, first off, it didn't come over here, but beyond that, that's because we don't condone it, and we'll do everything we can to help make sure that it's not happening mm-hmm. in the stadium. Here's what San Diego FC put out yesterday afternoon. Said, what took place during our first ever home match does not reflect who we are as a club or the values we stand for. The spirit, the sport of football brings people together, and in San Diego, that inclusive spirit thrives. The use of homophobic language in our stadium is completely unacceptable and will not be tolerated. San Diego FC is built on respect and the belief that soccer is for everyone. We are committed to fostering an environment where all fans, players, and staff feel safe and welcome. And here's the important part. We will take immediate steps to address this behavior and will communicate a detailed plan prior to the next home match, which is two Saturdays mm-hmm. from now. So this is what I was talking about yesterday, which was, you know, when I've done PA multiple times for the Mexican national team, both at Snapdragon, up at the Rose Bowl, and wherever you are, the thing that makes everyone show up at 2 o'clock for a 7 o'clock game is to literally practice the protocols of having staff, game management staff in the stands with walkie-talkies mm-hmm. going around, being present, right? You know, and trying to identify if at a widespread nature that chant has taken place, or if, you know, a couple of yahoos mm-hmm. are over in the corner trying to get something going. Because if it's a couple of yahoos, they won't do anything stadium-wide. They'll just go get those guys yeah. and send them outside. But if like a section does it, if it's clearly widespread, then protocol one is you do a warning. Then you do a second warning. Then you pause the match. If it happens a third time, and it's said all the way through, and it's said before the match, before you come in, there are banners that say, if this happens, that happens. Mm. A video is played where the players on the Mexican national team in Spanish are saying, this doesn't reflect us. Don't do it. This will hurt us. Don't do it. You know, and so it's all there. You educate, you set it up from the beginning, and then you warn, suspend, forfeit. Yeah. And it's a very straightforward progression.
Yeah, and you know, who knows what point it's going to get to, and hopefully it doesn't get to that point where they've got to do that, but they might.
I don't think it will.
But I think about, like, I mean, this is like a, you know, it's been heavily marketed to Mexico.
Yes.
And it's a very much a cross-border kind of, desire to have that kind of atmosphere by the team, and which is understandable completely. I mean, it's pretty much every team in San Diego would love to have that if available. The Padres do it too. And it's great to have that kind of, unity and that kind of, buy-in from both sides of the border. But it sounds like this is a chant that really originated in Mexico. Am I wrong?
Okay. No,
okay.
Not
so,
at all.
And
it's part
It might take that. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what it's going to take, you know, but clearly, I mean, I've heard, you know, like we talked about that, you know, from some people that it just doesn't, you know, it's this, it's that. Other people, it's this, it's that. But the truth is, to me, is it's like the team has clearly said where they stand on it.
Right.
And I thought there was a caller, actually, I don't know your name, sir, but you called into Ben and Woods this morning that said, these are the house rules. You got to play by the house
100%.
Rules. And those are their house rules. And so that's just an honor thing. Like, if you don't want to go, then, you know, same with like a bag, you know, you have to bring a certain type of bag into Petco Park. You don't want to play by those rules. You don't like it. You just don't go, you know, you know, you're mad about it, you grumble about it, but you go to the game anyways, and that might be the thing here with SDFC, you know, like maybe you don't agree with it, but you're going to go to the game anyways.
Absolutely. And, you know, I honestly very much look forward to this being put in the past. Mm-hmm. I think what's happened is this unique confluence of the soccer community, right, that's already been in San Diego, a new group of fans that are dipping their toe in the water And then just like you talked about, there's been a lot of South Border marketing.
Yeah.
And you're bringing across some Mexican fans who maybe feel like, even though, trust me, this is being drummed out at Liga MX matches.
And
it's not like it's okay at a Xolos match.
Right, but I don't even know that it's, we don't know. Is it Mexico fans? Is it fans that live right here in San Diego that, you know,
right, that happen to be L3 fans themselves.
Exactly, yeah.
No, you don't know. Well, what you do know is that it happened. It happened too many times. It got louder instead of softer. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, it usually means we've had a... The groupthink mentality has taken place. But I would like to say, before we transition, if you'd like to try and understand something more about this, and if you're maybe a little bit new to it, if you do still go on Twitter, a friend of mine, Travis Peterson, wrote last evening, I thought, a very eloquent, like, 20-tweet thread, at Punk Rock Paint is his handle, at Punk Rock Paint. Mm-hmm. And it recognizes, first and foremost, that for a lot of folks who just attended their first soccer match, they're simply confused because they think that something fun was happening. Because it seems fun. You hear the, hey, and it's a group come together. Whoa, they said something when the goalkeeper kicked the ball. I don't know what that word is. Maybe it's some soccer word. I don't know. I'm here for the first time. That sounds fun. Hey, kids, let's do that next time they kick the ball. This seems like a fun little tradition. You know, it's very easy for someone to walk in first time, have it happen around you, and think it's just, oh, yeah, this is something cool. And then furthermore, you might be Hispanohablante. You might be a native speaker, and you might say, you know, that word, when I'm with my friends, we say this way, and I think it's okay. But a simple reminder that empathy is a strength in the human condition. It is not a weakness. The ability to be able to put yourself in someone else's shoes, in someone else's mindset, and ask the question, not what does this mean to me, but what does this mean for the other people potentially? Mm-hmm. That are out there. What's the consequence that I don't understand?
It's just not worth it. Like, the team is saying these are the consequences to you yelling this because we view it as a derogatory term and a discriminatory term, which I'm not here to say it's not. You know, so they've drawn that line in the sand, and you know what? Good for them to want to do that and to say very clearly, this is where we stand on it. These are the repercussions. Now it's really up to you as a consumer how you're going to go about this. But you know what's going to happen if you continue to do it.
And literally, I hope this is the last time we talk about it.
Yeah, I hope so too. But I hope so too.
Yeah, I truly hope this is the last time we bring it up. And it's simply in a newsy fashion to state this is where this club is. This is where the supporters groups are. This is a unified front. This will change. And I'm glad. I'm glad, at least, you know, maybe with some awareness, we can understand why it changed. And if you're curious, I would recommend, go check out my buddy Punk Rock Paint's tweet thread. Maybe it'll give you a little more understanding of where everyone from every side is coming on this. Okay, with all that, switch it back. Baseball, spring training. Hey, when we can get something new and fresh from Peoria, we're psyched. All right, we're excited for it. Here's Fernando Tatis Jr., on with MLB Network. We talked about Nando getting into Bad Bunny's agency and trying to get back some endorsement steam. Now let's hear what Nando had to say. It looks like he's with Greg Amsinger of MLB Network.
What did you think of his rookie year?
Oh, amazing. Amazing. I'm definitely happy for what he did. You know, coming in, changing position, and becoming one of the best players right away last year is, you know, amazing to see in front of your eyes and really happy for him.
You're a terrific right fielder. At the beginning of the year, did you think to yourself, I need to help this kid out a little bit? How quickly did he catch on to playing center field?
Right away. It was something that was right away. Definitely he had sent inside of him, and he didn't need that much help, you know? It would talk a little bit up out there, but, man, he definitely had it, and he was definitely a great center fielder. He is a great center fielder.
He is. He's a fun kid to watch. I'm going to say something that a lot of fans in New York are going to like to hear. I think you know where I'm going with this. I felt like Padres-Dodgers was the actual World Series.
Yeah.
It was so intense. It was such an epic event to watch. What were your thoughts when it all came to an end, when you look back at how incredible that series was?
To the end, I mean, I was definitely heartbroken. That was the first thing, but you know, going back and seeing the review of all the series, man, it was just great baseball all the way around. You know, the environment, the emotions that everybody showed out there, it was definitely off the chart. And the game of baseball that was played in those moments, it was the highest level games that I have been part of.
Well, look, you know I'm a huge fan of yours. I say that my favorite shortstop in baseball plays right field for the San Diego Padres. But you have a cannon of an arm, and I think you might have the best right field throwing arm I've ever seen. So you want to play a game with me?
So
let's look back at some of my favorite right field throwing arms of all time. I'm going to start with Dave Parker in the 1970s. The Cobra, newly elected into the Hall of Fame. I mean, in the 70s. I mean, Fernando, this is a cannon of an arm, is it not?
It was. I was 20 years before I was born, but yeah.
Dave can throw it, man. He can throw it. All right, now, how about this one? Let's go to the 90s. Raul Mondesi with the Los Angeles Dodgers. This guy loved to throw the baseball, right?
Yeah, he was amazing. He was a great talent, a great, you know, it was great just to see him out there, and he definitely had a great arm.
An amazing arm. All right, I've got a couple other ones. My personal favorite people to forget about is Mark Whitten with the St. Louis Cardinals. I know your dad knows Mark Whitten. Hard-hitting Mark Whitten. He could throw it low on a line, which, as you know, you can do that.
Yeah.
Some right fielders can't keep the ball to where it can be cut off and still throw someone out at home plate, right? Yeah. There's an art to it.
Definitely art to it. And, I mean, the rotation of the ball, the momentum that is going on, you know, being able to give a chance to your infield to make a decision and steal the ball, go through the infield and still make a play in the home plate is definitely a game changer.
Now, the one that I would compare you to the most, and I know he's not as tall as you, but Ichiro Suzuki also had a cannon. He moved like a middle infielder, which is obviously your agility as well and your athleticism.
Yes.
I just feel like Ichiro's the closest comp to you in right. He's had some amazing throws. What do you think of that comparison?
I'm flattered. I mean, Hall of Famer, what he did his entire career was amazing. And, you know, being compared to him is definitely a blessing. And now let's try to do it a little bit even better.
Did I miss anyone?
Shout out to Vladdy. And shout out to
Vladdy Senior, yes.
Vladdy Senior. And shout out to Jeff Francoeur. My favorite was seeing him pick him off the wall and from there just going straight to every position where he wanted to go.
See, we're talking about a passion of ours, throwing a baseball from right field with Fernando Tatis Jr. But before I let you go, Fernando, we're getting social. So I've got a viewer who sent me a social media tweet. Tedford wants to know, how are you going to fill the missing pieces that you lost from last year? So let's just focus in on Jurickson and Profar not being on the team anymore.
That's my friend. Definitely going to miss him. But, you know, now we got to keep going, keep moving forward. But we definitely have a great group in there. You know, we have the talent, and we're not afraid of coming out and doing a little bit better now.
Yeah, Fernando, thank you, man. Have a great year, okay?
Okay, that was so damn devious. At the end, from Greg Amsinger, and this has to, Annie, this has to be the new interview technique, right? Like, why doesn't everyone do this? Hey, here's a softball, a softball, a softball, a softball, a softball. Hang on. We've actually got some social media questions. Billy in Tuskegee says, why do you get injured so many times, and did you lie about your motorcycle accident?
Look what that guy said. I didn't say that.
I mean, not me.
That guy said it.
Not me. I would never.
I would never say what this guy asked.
That was Billy in Tuskegee. I. What? It's here. It's on social media. What do you want?
Yeah, I've seen this style used quite a bit last year too, with some people putting out the social media requests. Maybe didn't want to do, you know, some of their own interviewing. I don't know, but I don't know how often are they. How often are they actually real? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like, is the handle real or whatever? Who knows? But plus, you're like, you know, you're finding the one that you think you can ask, and like, you know, there's certain ones you're definitely not asking, and then there's certain ones you're probably not doing a whole lot of research, and you're just taking what the fans tell you, which is nothing against the fan, what the fans say, but you know, wouldn't be good to do your own too.
I'm not going to ask him about Profar leaving. Let's let this guy ask him about Profar leaving. I'll just be the messenger.
I love
brilliant.
I love, though, hearing him talk about like some of the guys who had cannons of arms. You know, I look forward to Fernando throwing someone out. You know, I look forward to that throw from right field, and because he is so good at it, and he does send it like right down the line, like they were talking about. And you know it's coming, and he does that thing now where he, you know, shoots the pulls out his guns and then puts them back in his pocket, which I always crack up at. So I'm looking forward to you doing that, Fernando. So is probably someone on social media that will tell you about it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, good stuff all the way around. I liked those comparisons in terms of arm strength. I don't know that... Amsinger seemed to think that Ichiro was the closest comp. I kind of feel Mondesi, personally, is a closer comp. Both Dominicanos.
I have no idea.
Old card coming out again. So sorry. Let me pull this out. I grew up watching Raul Mondesi. El Cañon,
yeah,
as they called him. And he had the strongest arm you could imagine and also not always perfectly accurate.
Yeah.
So you'd use it a lot. Every once in a while you'd miss. But
a little off course.
But pow, but you were afraid. You were absolutely afraid. Yeah. And you would hold up every time. And that's
That's part of it, right? The fear that how this guy can throw, and if he's on target, he's gonna get you out.
Yeah. I mean Larry Walker was one of those guys. Larry Walker had such a strong, accurate arm that people just wouldn't run.
Yeah.
There's been lots of Vladdy. That's another. Actually, I would even say Vladdy and Tatis's arm are very, very similar.
Similar, yeah.
Yeah. Tatis might be better, actually. He might be a little bit better, but hey, it's got to be fun to be in that category all the way up.
Oh, 100%. And it's got to feel good. I mean, look, clearly, when you ask players this question, what feels better, a home run or this or that? They pretty much 99.9% of the time they'll say a home run. But it's got to feel good to throw someone out with that arm sometimes, and just to know you got him. You got him. Good luck running on him. So be fun to watch again.
It'd be also kind of fun to track the total number of runs saved over a season. Like on the moments where it's first and second, one out, base hit to right field, runner holds at third. Just runner holds. Tatis didn't even have to make the throw.
Is he going
to
try him? Right. Yeah.
Tatis is just there and he goes, nope, hold. And then you get a pop out or a strikeout. You get out of it. You get a double play. And it was like, boom.
Yeah. That's how you know. You got the fear in them.
We've got the Padres Deep Dive Hour coming up, including the Daily Shilf, right after this.
Hey, it's Craig Elston from Annie and Elston. Just wanted to take a second to say thank you for downloading and listening to Annie and Elston. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening to us. Also, favorite us on the Odyssey app. Also, we're live weekdays on YouTube. And, of course, you can always listen live weekdays 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.